Good morning. This morning's scripture reading comes from Matthew 5, 38 through 48. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, give your coat as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Give to the one who asks of you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect.
Please pray with me. Loving God, anoint us with your Holy Spirit as we hear your word this day. Fill us with your truth that we may walk in the ways of God and to the glory of your realm. Amen. So the underlying message in Matthew 5, like the whole of Matthew 5, it's the Sermon on the Mount. That whole underlying message is that if we live into God's way of loving our neighbor and God's understanding of who our neighbor is, we have the power to transform the whole world. In these last few verses of the chapter, Jesus gives us some really difficult directions to follow. Jesus offers up a law that the listeners at the time would have been very familiar with. It's called Lex Talionis. That's Latin for the law of retaliation. Obviously, they didn't use the term Lex Talionis at that time, but it's this law of retaliation that when Jesus says, you have heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, that's Lex Talionis. Jewish listeners would have understood that from Torah passages like in Exodus 21, Leviticus 24, and Deuteronomy 19. But this law of retaliation, Lex Talionis, goes back even farther to the Code of Hammurabi. It's written around 1750 BCE. It was written in cuneiform, on a black stone pillar. Some of that is on the background of the picture here. It's not very tall. It's probably about that tall. And it kind of comes out a little bit at the bottom. But it's, you know, like a pillar. Not an exact round, not that that matters. But at the top of the relief is this picture. It's a relief, like a cutout of Hammurabi with the Babylonian god of justice, Shamash. And that's the picture here in front of the cuneiform. So one of the reasons that this Lex Talionis, that this law of retaliation was needed, even way back in Hammurabi's time in Babylonia, is because people tend to take things to the extreme, especially when they feel that they have been wronged. You've heard the stories throughout history. Even hear them today. Someone is injured, and their family or their friends or their country retaliate by declaring war on the perpetrator's tribe. And this just becomes this never-ending cycle where the instances of revenge just keep on escalating. Lex Talionis says, let's take it down a few notches. Let's slow down here. Why don't we make the punishment fit the crime? If someone pokes my eye out, the response shouldn't be an all-out war, but something proportional to my injury. But this is also a law of mercy that's meant for judges to carry out. It's not really supposed to be for individuals privately. And it also like wasn't really literally carried out. Like, you losing an eye doesn't do anything to restore my sight. We like to think that our judicial system has come a lot farther than this, like almost 4,000-year-old concept. And in many ways it has, right? But, you know, we still have the death penalty. Jesus tells us that this eye for an eye thing, this lex talionis, that's not what God wants either. If someone strikes you, don't hit them back. Not only don't hit them back, but offer them another strike. If someone sues you, just give them even more than is required. If someone makes you walk 1 mile with them, go 2 miles. If someone asks you for something and you have it, give it to them. Oh, and also, you know, love your enemies and make sure that you pray for them. Like, genuinely, not like, oh, I'll pray for you. I don't know about you, but all of this seems like an overkill in the opposite direction of the pre-Lex Talionis days. I'm supposed to, like, just let people walk all over me, abuse me. I'm supposed to be a pushover. Let people take everything that I own, and then pray for good things for these people on top of all of that. Like, don't worry, you're not the first to think that that can't possibly be what Jesus meant. We Christians have been coming up with spectacular strategies for avoiding Jesus' commands for a long time. For instance, like, these are obviously impossible standards. But, like, if we just strive towards them, you know, they're impossible to actually attain. But if we strive towards them, we live better than we would have otherwise. Or how about this? Jesus is speaking to those disciples in that time and place. This doesn't really work for our modern world, where we have complex relationships and global economics. One of my favorite explanations for this passage, and the way that I chose to understand it for a long time, was these words were meant to empower oppressed people. When you can't force people to treat you justly, expose the injustice. When striking back is only going to get you hurt, confront the aggressor without retaliating. When your debts are out of control, show how your poverty leaves you without any sort of protection. When your occupier demands your labor, put him in an impossible situation by going above the conventional expectations. Show the world that you are undeserving of these attacks and the injustice will be righted. And we might very well be exposing injustice when we do these things. But make no mistake, Jesus meant what he said. Retaliation, however controlled and restricted, has no place in Christian life. Lex talionis isn't justice. Injustice paid with injustice isn't justice. Violence met with violence isn't justice. At the same time, though, we're not romanticizing our enemies or downplaying the difficulty of non-retaliation. The Gospel of Matthew was written by and for people under savage persecution. The enemy that we're talking about here isn't, we're not talking about the neighbor who built their fence half a foot on your property, but a Roman soldier with the power of actual life or death over you, who is commandeering your labor. And you have to do two times what he asks as a Christian. Lex talionis is replaced in our Christian lives by forgiveness. Christ exemplified this for us from the cross when he said, in a time of his most excruciating pain, he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Matthew 5 is a blueprint for the life of the church. Jesus has come not to abolish the laws of the Old Testament, but to fulfill them. And he brings about a new way to understand the law. The law isn't a set of rules, but the law is a way of life. It's about living with God and living with God requires us to live with other people. Jesus clearly cares about how we treat one another. Following the letter and the spirit of the law is tough enough on its own. And then Jesus goes and ups the ante by drawing that circle of inclusion even wider. I mean, let's be honest, us folks here, we're good. We're law-abiding citizens. As far as I know, we're not out there robbing and maiming people. We don't openly hate and ridicule our neighbors. But there are some pretty subtle ways that we hate our neighbors. Those easy assumptions, the ways that we dismiss or ignore or brush away our neighbor's plight. The stereotype and ignorance under which we judge people that aren't like us. We can't love people if we're not willing to get to know them. And we can't get to know them if we're not willing to step out of our secure personal spaces and our cultural comfort zones. We can't begin to love people if we don't get close enough to see the image of God and the face of Christ within them. No one, not even Jesus, said that all of this is easy. That living in a world with lex talionis flipped on its head, Jesus never said that was going to be a walk in the park. That offering the other cheek, giving up your coat, walking a second mile, loving your enemies, none of that comes naturally to us. We are given the law, and Jesus interprets the law for us so that we might remember it is God who leads us. It is God who guides us. It is God who gives us life. And these sayings express the inherent rule of the kingdom of God and God's ultimate way of dealing with humanity, which is exhibited in the life and death of Jesus. Thanks be to God. Amen.